Drawing room over here.
Are you on the list? Oh, doesn't matter. Come on in. Here, have one of these.
I wonder if you can join the dots between these ideas in public art, wrapping an entire coastline in fabric. There's one. Strapping televisions to your chest and playing the cello. There is another. What have they got in common? We will discover shortly by means of a conversation with Samantha Lang. Samantha is a filmmaker and director. And we're going to talk about her latest offering. It's a documentary on the collector, the philanthropist, the patron, John Calder. Samantha, welcome.
Hello, Jonathan.
What an amazing gift to this country John Calder has been.
Yes, I mean, he is a quietly formidable character and someone who in many ways was saved by his passion for art and who has, as a result, wanted to make his passion public.
Well, there's lots I want to talk to you about there, what you just said, his formidableness, the way in which he was saved. We should first say, though, your film is called It All Started With a Stale Sandwich.
Indeed, it is.
Which is an interesting title.
Yes.
And it goes on to talk about John Calder and the way in which he supports, among other things, but extraordinary works of public art, which is a tremendous, as I say, is a great gift.
It is a great gift, and I think it's a gift that started out of his passion for art and then persisted and evolved really into something that was much more substantial and significant in terms of its impact, I think, and I think many others believe, on the cultural landscape of Australia.
This is the thing about public art, I think, too. I mean, you know, many people go to galleries and many people look at art on the wall. Public art intrudes into our space. You know, public art makes itself known in a context which, you know, you would not otherwise encounter that art or those ideas. I mean, public art is tremendously powerful.
Yes, and I think the thing about public art too is that it's available to everyone and anyone. It's free. Mm. It's something that you can encounter and it can change the way you think about the space in which you encounter it. It's something that can change the way you think about your own relationship to that space and to other people in that space. And I think that makes it really powerful in terms of community building, in terms of collective story making. It is a very powerful thing. And the other thing is it exists in parallel to the kind of secondary contemporary art market. So it's something that is really special and really, I think, vital for community.
A formidable man, you say, John Calder.
Yes, I think he's formidable because of his resilience and his longevity. I mean, not just in terms of he is sort of 83 or 84, but, you know, he started out collecting art. He then extended that interest when he was working for a company to get them to sponsor Australian artists to have these sculpture scholarships. And then it was as a result of his encounter with Christo in New York in 1968 that then he decided to try and start bringing artists from overseas to Australia to interact with our spaces and also with our artists and our audiences.
And so Christo, is it 1969?
Yes, that's right.
Christo out and Christo wraps up bits of Sydney Harbour.
Yes, and I mean, that's why I say formidable because John was relentless in trying to achieve what Christo hadn't been able to achieve anywhere else in the world. Christo and Jean-Claude were both artists living, you know, they were quite impoverished in a New York factory or warehouse, and they'd been trying to convince I think it was in California, people to give them, government councils to give them a piece of coastline. And so Christo speaks about John coming to visit him and him saying, look, you know, we don't want to come to Australia and lecture. I don't speak very good English. But in fact, what we'd really love is just a little bit of coastline because Australia is so enormous. It's got such a huge coastline.
You've got so much.
That's right. We just like a little bit of that to wrap a million square feet of fabric over. And as John says, says, you know, the fact that I took that request seriously changed my life. And he went everywhere. He went to every council in Sydney trying to find a piece of coastline. And eventually he did at Little Bay, which was at that time a hospital. And the director of the hospital said, well, look, I think it could be quite amusing for people. And for the nurses, it could be a distraction because at that stage, nurses lived on in the hospital premises. And he gave them access. But, you know, not without there being an enormous amount of pushback from environmentalists, from the church, the local church and the pastor there. And also from the media, who just thought the whole thing was ridiculous.
Interestingly, in the arc of your film, that it begins there. And with Christo, here we are wrapping up some you know, Sydney coastline. And one of the bodies not consulted would have, I imagine, have been interested Indigenous parties.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
But you resolve in your film with a project which is, well, rights that potential small wrong, I guess.
Yes. I mean, look, I came to this project, the making of the documentary about John Cowdor's 50 years of public art projects, knowing something about those works, but also needing to find some sense of narrative within that. I come from fiction. This is my first documentary. And across those 34 projects, I think what was most striking to me visually and just conceptually was this notion that Christo came to wrap the coast, and it was the kind of covering the coastline with whiteness. So there's this notion of wrapping. And then Jonathan Jones' work, which was called Barangal Diara, which means skin and bones, was all about unearthing the Aboriginal history of a site where the Garden Palace had once been, which is in Botanic Gardens in Sydney. So these sort of two tent poles, in a way, one wrapping and one unearthing, I was really curious about, well, what is the story in between? And
that is an arc to satisfy any fictional writer or essayist or the proponent of narrative nonfiction. That is a glorious bracketing.
Yes, and I mean, thankfully, both Jonathan Jones, the artist involved in the work around the Garden Palace, and Christo are great storytellers, and also had a very kind of lucid way of speaking about those works. And John himself also was able to speak in a really considered way about them.
You can see that arc in a new film called It All Started with a Stale Sandwich, and the filmmaker is Samantha Lang, and she's our guest in the drawing room here on Drive. I don't know whether, Samantha, to ask you about the sandwich or not, or just to leave that to the...
Look, it's definitely in the film, and I think... I mean, part of, for me, of the delight of the film is there is this narrative around the histories of those works, but there's also a present tense, which is all about Michael Landy, a British artist, trying to grapple with how to exhibit these ephemeral public works. So, you know, how do you document works that no longer exist anymore? And he and John are in some ways a comic duo as they try to work through how to represent these works in an exhibition. And part of that is workshopping what the title of that exhibition will be. So it's... Right.
Yes, John seems rather keen on the notions of nomenclature and titling. It's
And I also, I think because, you know, he came to Australia in 1950 as a Hungarian migrant, so English is his second language. And so he loves to make... He loves wordplay and he loves jokes and, yeah.
There are a number of people in this country like John Cowdor who are significant philanthropists. And I often wonder, you know, in the Australian setting where taxpayers and governments are traditionally, you know, a bit loath to support the arts, whether people of means see the importance, the contribution that their philanthropy can make.
Look, I think it's absolutely vital that we have a cultural life. And I think that the work of someone like John, who, as I said, he himself was affected by his interactions with art. He talks about how when he and his mother, well, his family were refugees in Paris, he didn't want to go to school. So his mother said, well, look, we may never, ever come back to Europe. So I'll take you to all of the art galleries and all of the museums and we'll look at the art here. And he talks about how that really affected him profoundly. And as a result, he doesn't want to just collect art. He really wants to share that transformative experience that encountering a piece of art can give you, can give anyone, and also that it can happen at any number of levels. You can just see the work and it can just affect you viscerally. It can affect you intellectually or emotionally. What he's concerned with is sharing that experience, making that experience part of our everyday lives.
And yet without the Calders, without the Myers, without the likes of David Walsh at Mona, people injecting their money into our public creative culture would be so much the poorer.
I think so, and I think it's not just only about audiences. I think it's about other artists, and certainly with the Caldor projects, by bringing significant artists out like Jeff Koons, Marina Abramovic, those artists were, well, Marina Abramovic particularly, were interacting with local artists and helping them generate new work. So it has this kind of knock-on effect on a really large scale.
The Christo project... It comes at that sort of wonderful period in Australian cultural history too of, you know, we're still sort of shrugging off the pallidness of the, you know, the mid-century. It would have been, I suspect, greeted with considerable sort of bemusement / hostility by many people in Sydney.
I think that's right, and that's certainly spoken about in the documentary. It was at that nexus of the kind of older, more conservative Menzies Australia and sort of getting ready for...
On the brink of change.
That's right, everything on the brink of change. And I think that really that Christo work changed the cultural landscape in the sense that it gave audiences and local artists this sense that they were connected to a bigger world, a wider world, and that they could think of art in a much bigger, broader context and a contemporary context. When I was going through the archives and speaking with people, one mother, she'd been a mother and she'd had a son who was 9 seeing that work, and she said, look, we came to mock and we stayed to pray, because it really did affect people. It had an enormous impact on how people felt about place and also about art.
So that's number one. We're now on the brink of seeing what is Project 34.
That's right. So Asad Razo, who is an American artist whose origins are from Pakistan, came recently. But when we were documenting it, he has a proposal, a fairly utopian proposal for John Caldor around creating a new soil for Australia.
I do like this idea.
Yes. Well, I was really curious about it. I mean, just behind the camera to sort of think about, well, how does an international artist come and create a new soil for Australia, and what does that mean? And I think John was, having done the work with Jonathan Jones at the Botanic Gardens, was bemused by this proposal, but also willing to see what it would entail. And I think that's the really incredible thing about John Caldor, is that even after 50 years, he is still open and playful and almost sometimes childlike in the way that he's willing to approach an idea that seems really wacky and kind of out there. But little by little, if the artist can walk him through step by step, he will go with it and go on that journey.
Does he see any end to that journey?
I don't think so. I mean, we recently had lunch and he's about to do this big exhibition that opens in September the 6th for the Art Gallery of New South Wales. And I said, oh, well, I was curious to know what he planned next. And I said, do you have plans for the next project after that? And he said, oh, yes, yes, but I'm going to do something different this time. So, yes.
Wait and see. Samantha, thank you so very much. An inspiring, I think that's the word, story, the story of John Caldor. Thank you for setting it down. Thanks for chatting about it. So Q&A with Samantha Lang, screening Melbourne and Sydney. There's a link, even as we speak, on the RN website that will give you all the details to that screening and Q&A. Samantha, thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thank you.
And the film, it all started with a stale sandwich.